May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 289. Thus far my God has led me on, and made his truth and mercy known. My hopes and fears alternate rise, and comforts mingle with my sighs. Hymn 289.
Thank you. The reading out of God's most holy word for tonight you can find in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah, chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word. May he add his blessing and grant us a spirit of real prayer. O most gracious and merciful God of heaven, O Lord, thou who dwells on high, thou who art glorious and majestic and filled with power, incomprehensible, invisible, and yet, Lord, so gracious and loving, so tender and compassionate. Oh, what rich blessings thou hast to give to fallen sons and daughters of Adam. Oh, Lord, we come tonight again as a company of poor sinners. And, Lord, we do beg thy presence in our midst, and that thou in thy mercy might favor us to condescend even now, and shower us, Lord, with those blessings from heaven. O Lord, feed us with that rich crumb of mercy. O grant, Lord, the broken and the contrite spirit that thou wilt not despise. O in mercy, Lord, that thy power might attend the word, and the words spoken are the message of thine, and that thou hast a purpose, and thou hast a people to draw to thyself, through thy glorious Son, Jesus. And thou hast a work to perform in the rebellious, and the obstinate, and the worldly. Thou hast words to give, a door to be broken down in the ear of the deaf. And thou hast a scale to remove from the blind. Lord, that thou might come even tonight to perform these works. For, Lord, we can do nothing of self, a company of poor sinners we are. And, Lord, we are poor and we are helpless. Oh, but thou knowest, Lord, that we do need thee. And we cry tonight again that thou might hear our poor prayers, and that thou might look down from heaven in mercy and send thy blessed Spirit. Oh, that precious one, that sacred revealer of truths, that sacred witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that blessed one that awakens the dead and applies thy precious word with power. O Heavenly Father, send thy Spirit then now to guide us and to lead us into the ways of truth, and to come with that great power that alone can make us be willing, and shed that love of thine, O Heavenly Father, in our hearts. Do remember us, for we come to confess, Lord, there is nothing within us, no good, no righteousness, no merits, no obedience. And Lord, our hearts are filled with sin, and we are weak and we are poor and cannot maintain our step one moment of the day. And even in the night seasons, Lord, we are filled with sin. Oh, Lord, truly then bless us with Jesus Christ. Lord, we seek comfort for our souls. We seek a sacred blessing for us. We seek, Lord, the preparations of our souls for the never-ending eternity. And Lord, we long for a moment to soar with the wings of an eagle, into the heavens beholding the Son of Righteousness. And we plead, Lord, that there might be healing in his wings for our diseases. And we pray, Lord, that thou might give us a song of praise tonight, that we might sing thy worthiness and sing to thy glory and thy honor for the lifting up of our souls for a moment. And Lord, do bless this people, thy church that gathers here, and those that have put on a profession of faith in thy wondrous name. Lord, to sustain them time after time, remember them as we depart from them. Shower them, Lord, with humbleness and with love, and give them a constancy in that faith, walking humbly in thy ways. And grant them, Lord, that thou wilt shed abroad thy Spirit within them, and make them burden bearers for one another, and criers unto thee for the congregation. Oh, that thou mayest hear their voice continually, and give them really, Lord, that unfeigned humility, that they might truly become the least of the brethren and sisters. Oh, bind them together. Give them unity. Give them love and care and concern. And Lord, we pray especially to give the rich extension of thy kingdom from amongst them. Oh, that there may be sons and daughters born in Zion. And they may be those travailing souls that may be brought to birth. And that they might come to testify of the sacredness of yon lovely man. Pass them not by. Remember them in mercy. Remember the deacons in their work. And grant them, Lord, to feel the responsibility of their positions. And to grant them, Lord, that they might be that means of bringing through the choosing of the hymns and through the leading of this people, that they might be an encouragement and a testimony of thy love and favor. And so, Lord, we commend them in the precious congregation to thy throne of grace. Lord, remember each one in the circumstances of life. Remember them in their families and in their homes, in their occupations. Oh, grant them, Lord, that they might be turned from these things to seek thy kingdom, melted in their hearts and filled with anxiety for the soul, that they may be content with the things of food and raiment, and that they may be truly that ones who have that godliness and contentment with what thou hast given. O Lord, remember the sick and the tried and troubled, the weak and the perplexed, the sorrowing spirits, the empty hearts, the bowed down souls, those whom thou, Lord, hast put heavy burdens upon, thou whom thy heavy hand has chastened. Lord, we beg that in these things, in these trials and troubles of life, in providential difficulties and weakness of body, that thou, Lord, might make such ones softened, and that thou may be pleased to give the uplifted eye, and that precious cry for thy mercy, for thy sacred appearing, for thy blessing of the trials, that thou might come to wipe the tears from the eyes, and bind up the wounds, and carry the burdens. Lord, remember them all, we pray. And so we pray, Lord, for also all of thy people throughout this world, where all of thy twos and threes are gathered together. Oh, Lord, we have a wondrous working God, almighty in power and glorious in all thy ways. Thy people shall be comforted. Lord, we bring them unto thee, those that are persecuted for their faith, those that are exceedingly tried. Oh, we think of that word, ye have not yet resisted unto blood. Lord, sustain thy children, O thou faithful God. Remember thy people throughout this world. And we commend our loved ones at home again unto thee. O Lord, do bless us all together, that we may humbly fall down before thy presence to worship thee. And again, Lord, we would bring that sacred and precious word unto thee, that thou, Lord, might remember those that translate, the Trinitarian Bible Society, and the efforts that they make to distribute that word, that thou, Lord, would show thyself almighty, and where Satan roars, and where Satan would prevent, that thou, Lord, might show thyself as God, almighty in power, and that Satan has no power before thee. Oh, we pray yet now, that they may be drawn from the north, and from the south, and the east, and the west, and from the ends of the earth thy sons and daughters shall come to worship thee. Lord, do bless in that word, and send it even now throughout this land, throughout this world sunk in sin and darkness, that poor souls might yet be drawn into thy marvelous kingdom and rejoice in the wonders of salvation. Lord, we do plead for this land and those in authority here in our home, at home as well. We do tremble, Lord, before thy just judgments, and we fear, Lord, that time is rapidly coming to an end. But what are the nations of this world compared to thee? O Lord, remember us, and to stir up us to give us an outward repentance and an inward repentance. Touch our hearts and the hearts of our leaders. And we beg, Lord, that thou might truly remember the mercy, the infiniteness of thy mercy, the riches of thy mercy to we who are sunk in sin. And so, Lord, remember us altogether. O Lord, now we return unto thee, and praise as thy worthy, thy holy name. And thank thee, O Lord God, for the wondrous truths in thy precious word. To thank thee that thou hast shown that thou hast created this earth, and thou shalt maintain it to the very end of time. And thou, through thy covenant with Noah, hast promised the seasons in which we shall yet be given bread and food. Thou shalt yet nourish this earth according to thy promises, for thy word shall never fail. And that thou, Lord, art indeed a God of love, and filled with patience and long-suffering. That thou, Lord God, knowest all things, and that thou hast thy people's care in thy hand, a people whom thou hast called and chosen, a people whom thou hast written in the breastplate of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and upon the palms of his hands, and in the book of life. A people whom the Lamb of God has been sent to earth and to die for. O Heavenly Father, we would bow before thee to praise thee for the wonders of salvation, for the surety of that salvation in Jesus Christ. O the precious visit of Jesus to this earth to save a people ruined and sunk in sin. Our glorious Redeemer and his precious love shown on earth as he drew men, women, and children to himself. As he spread open his arms wide unto the poor and the perishing and the diseased and the blind and the lame, and the gospel was preached unto the poor. O our beloved Savior, in his holy, spotless obedience, in his willingness to walk that way of holiness, that people might be saved from their sins and clothed with that glorious robe of righteousness. O we do thank thee, Father, for him who went to the cross joyfully, never opening his mouth in resistance, but allowed himself to be nailed there to that tree, and to bear our sins upon himself, and to take away the curse, and to destroy Satan in his awful temptations, and his power over death and hell. Oh, the wonders of our beloved Savior, as he rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, our beloved Savior who lives forever and ever to cheer, and to succor them that are in distress, and that are tried and tempted and sorrowing. O the wondrous love and faithfulness of our great High Priest and our conquering King, that we should not be destroyed. O Heavenly Father, we thank thee for these sacred truths and thy gift of thy Spirit, thy Holy Spirit, to teach us, the ignorant sinners, these precious truths. And so, Lord, now remember us as we turn unto thy holy word. Lord, fill us with thy Spirit. Give the words upon the mouth. Give the indictings of the Holy Spirit. And grant that that word might come with power into the hearts of the hearers. And together we may worship our beloved Savior Jesus Christ. And we ask all these things in that precious and all-prevailing name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 76. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. Hymn number 76.
Thank you.
need the Lord's help again for this evening hour. We would draw your prayerful attention to Isaiah 55, verse 11. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Beloved friends, we have before us this evening hour for our consideration the wondrous truths of the Almighty God. What we've just sung on our hymn, the eternal Lord Jehovah's shalls and wills, the eternal decrees, the purposes of the Most High God made known into the hearts of chief sinners. Oh, we have this evening hour a chapter that we've already preached on, dear friends, of that everlasting covenant. Oh, the sacred comforts made known to a peculiar people, a people whose hearts have been prepared by the word of the Lord, a word that shall have an effect, a word that shall accomplish that which it is purposed, the word of the Lord Jehovah. My word, so shall my word be. How is he comparing it to? He's comparing it, beloved friends, that as the rain that cometh down from heaven and the snow that cometh down from the heavens, and that it shall not go back up, but it shall perform that. It shall water the earth. It shall soften the earth. And so shall my word be, the word of the Most High God, who has purposed, willed, and decreed that his people, his church, his loved ones shall be saved. And they shall be saved, beloved friends, by the word, his word. They may resist. They may rebel. They may feel themselves, oh, so unworthy of the least of the blessings of this God. They shall see themselves unfit. They will be sung in his hymn too. They shall run the opposite direction. They shall feel themselves to be madmen, running headlong in their careers to hell. But if the word of this Most High God has a purpose in that soul, it shall accomplish the thing which it has purposed. For it is a word from God himself. I think of that word in Romans 9:19, where it says, "For who hath resisted his will?" Is there one then that has resisted his will and overcome? Is there one that can resist the will, the hand, the power of the Most High God? And we may thankfully say, beloved friends, there is not one. The purposes of our God standeth sure and firm. Hath not the potter power over the clay to make of one vessel a vessel unto honor, and of another vessel a vessel unto dishonor? Who art thou that repliest against God, O man? And we see, beloved friends, there that solemn truth, that the word of God is like the rain that drops down from heaven. The word of God shall perform that which God purposes in it. The word of God, the blessed word of God, is powerful and irresistible. We refer to it as the invincible grace and power of his word as it enters into the ears of the hearers, the particular people, beloved friends. A people whose heart shall be prepared as the waters from heaven prepare the earth and soften it and moisten it, that it might receive the seed of the sower, and that it might take root down into the heart. And that soul might thus, beloved friends, be ones that are prepared for what we speak in this beloved chapter here of the sacred mercies of the fountain of living waters. A people, beloved friends, whose hearts have been overturned by the power, by the plow of God's law, by the word of the holy God, the holy, just, and good law of God. It shall perform that which God has spoken. Beloved friends, if it was not in the hands of God, if it was not that our God had our souls in his eye, that he has decreed and purposed that we shall be saved, we had never been saved. We had never, beloved friends, come. Not in the right way. not as reduced and brought into unto humility as a poor lost sinner, and not forsaking, dear friends, all the works of our hands. But the Lord shall see to it, dear friends, that you and I, if we shall be his children and his bride, that we shall be brought to utter destitution, utter helplessness, and utter poverty by the word of this God. How crucifying it shall be. But here, dear friends, we find again in this chapter a solemn truth of the word of God, a solemn exhortation unto us. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon his name while he is near. The word of the Lord, beloved friends, that we are exhorted to seek it. To seek it with all diligence, for it is the health to the soul. The word of God, dear friends, tonight again, in this precious portion of his word, declares the utter necessity, the urgency of the soul to find this, find its salvation. To find its eternal peace and joy. And I believe I've spoken it if in Stanton already. But seeing it is our last time together, beloved friends, for who knows how long, we might see the reason why there is an urgency to seek the word of God. And to find favor with God and forgiveness of sins by God. And it is, beloved friends, for we do not know the time in which the door of grace shall be shut to us. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man shall shut it. That's a sacred, a wonderful word of our God. But, beloved friends, we have in Proverbs chapter 1, in the end of that chapter, we have something different also. We have a door shut. We have those who disdained and spurned the counsel of God. The will of God, and the door was shut. The time was past for salvation. And that solemn realization made known in the soul, and you would not. It says there, so when ye call, I will not answer you. I will not hearken unto your words. You would have none of me, therefore I will not hearken unto you. Read it, friends, when you go home. And may it set in you such a cry that Almighty Lord might have mercy on me. That I might not spurn the days in which I still have life, and I still might have breath in my nostrils, and that I might have yet an opportunity, beloved friends, to cry and to plead for mercy. The time is short. The time is urgent. And our souls are so precious. Oh, when we find the second exhortation in this chapter, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Beloved friends, I'm not speaking of that wicked people out there that didn't come tonight. I'm not speaking of the ones in the inn in drinking the beer and listening to the rock and roll. I'm not speaking of them, friends. I'm speaking of the unconverted, who are also called the wicked and the unrighteous. Let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous his thoughts. That we might find peace and safety from this God. That his word might enter our souls with power. That we might be convicted of our sins and our careless sight. And that we might cry to this God who is a God of mercy, friends. And delighteth in mercy, a God of love, an exceeding great love. That truly that word might come with power. And we might turn. Like it says in Ezekiel 18. It says there, let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and make you clean hearts, that the sins and iniquities of you may be remembered no more. You see, friends, we are exhorted to make us clean hearts and new hearts. We are exhorted, beloved friends, to have that heart that is prepared. Now the question is, how can I make my heart clean? If we turn to that chapter in Ezekiel, where the word of the God is saying, make turn from your wicked ways and your unrighteous thoughts. Friends, have you tried? Have we really tried to turn? To turn to God and to live according to his commandments? Has it been impressed upon us how we need to live a righteous life, a holy life? It is here tonight, friends, we will come to that solemn realization of the blessings of this chapter tonight. The precious invitations of the gospel to a people who cannot change their lives and who cannot come righteously before God. A people whose lives, dear friends, through the power of this word, the word shall not return unto me void, and it shall accomplish the things which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. A people, beloved friends, who shall turn from their wicked ways unto Christ to plead for his mercy. And to such there is such a rich invitation tonight, come ye to the waters. This is the place, dear friend, that we shall overcome our enemies, overcome our temptations, and overcome our wickedness. We will never find it in self. And we will never find it in our prayers, and we will never find it in our own works, friends. It will be a poor, helpless, wretched sinner, having no good in self, who does not, when God does not come to propose, and God does not come to invite, but God sends his word into the heart like the rain that drops down from heaven to the earth. He sends the power of that word into the soul, and makes that soul begin to tremble, beloved friends. Makes that soul begin to think and concern its eternal welfare. That hymn 698. But if thou art still a stranger to Jesus' precious name and blood, thou art on the brink of danger, canst thou face a holy God? Think and tremble, death is now upon the road. To have beloved friends, in a poor, unconverted soul, this word entered the soul with power. It is that word from God. Are you tonight, beloved friends, that trembling one? Is death now upon the road? Is death seeking you out and haunting you and pursuing you with a vengeance? Or the accusations, dear friends, of your wickedness and unrighteousness pursuing you in your conscience and filling your soul with dread and unease? Oh, we beloved friends of that blessed people who are safe under the wings of Emmanuel. Has our tremblings and fears, beloved friends, brought us to nothing to say, Lord, O Lord, appear. O Lord, shine in my soul with thy goodness. O bring me to the fountains of living waters. O apply the precious juice of that purple flood, that purple fountain opened up for sin and uncleanness. And the purple fountain open up for lepers and the diseased. Have we, beloved friends, had that word of God with such power to make us tremble and to make us become true seekers after his grace and goodness? Oh, we may thank this eternal Lord Jehovah and the almighty power of this God when it enters into the soul. None will resist it. Oh, none can turn against it. If we think of that beautiful word in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, shall our fears, shall our weaknesses, shall our doubtings, shall the temptations of Satan to give up, or that we are not one of God's nor ever can be? We are so unlike the children of the Lord and the holy ones and the righteous ones, that we durst not even bring ourselves into their presence nor commune with them. Oh, these awful, awful things. Shall persecution, shall famine, shall distress, shall peril, shall the sword, shall any of these things separate from the love of Christ? Well, the wondrous thing, beloved friends, is that we might say no. None of these things can separate the child of God, because it is the word of God that has come down and struck that sinner dead. And it is the word of God with power that is directing that same poor sinner to this precious theme tonight, a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Oh, it is the invincible love of God that has touched such a heart, and that sacred desire that is put into that same heart for hope and a plea for mercy. These are the wonders of the gospel, the glad tidings of good news brought to poor sinners, friends, not to the rich, not to the pious, not to the worthy, not to the healthy, but to wretched, wretched, lost and ruined sinners, and ones whose plea is that I might be put in this fountain. Richer, far richer it is, beloved friends, than the pool of Bethesda. Oh, the Lord Jesus truly shall become the healing waters. And the Lord Jesus shall take this people whose hearts have been overturned, friends, whose hearts have been shown their wickedness and wretchedness, whose hearts are being prepared for this fountain. You see, friends, this fountain, this precious blood of Christ, it is for a prepared people. It is. It's for a people, beloved friends, who have been reduced to that place of utter poverty, and whose sins and whose defilement is so black and their guilt is so great that nothing but Jesus can give ease and a cure. Nothing but this fountain tonight. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Those that thirst for what, friends? That thirst for the righteousness of God. That thirst to be brought into the kingdom of God. That thirst for the peace of God. And that thirst for the favor of God. Because that word, so shall my word be that cometh out of my mouth. There's a sacred thing here, beloved friends. And I was thinking of it this morning because we've already preached out of this chapter when we've here. There's a wonderful thing. When the Lord indicts within us a message, that there is a word that is to be spoken not from me and not from my mouth, but from the mouth of the Most High God, directed into a people's hearts who are prepared to receive it. A people's souls, beloved friends, who need the fountain of living waters. A people whose hearts are so troubled and so filled with diseases that none but God through Jesus Christ can give a comfort. What a wonderful thing, dear friend, if your heart has been brought to that place of utter destitution. If your heart is brought to the place that you were not worthy of the least of his blessings, and so deeply tried and afflicted in the soul that you cannot deny that this Most High God might reveal his Son Jesus Christ to you, that he might speak into your souls with power. I'm not talking here. I'm talking into our soul, beloved friends, that the realities of our sinfulness, though it is so dreadful, and though we may be so diseased, that we cannot deny that we thirst after the living waters of Jesus Christ. That the Lord God in almighty power has granted unto us not only a knowledge of our sins, not only a sorrow for our sins, not only a pleading to God for the forgiveness of our sins, but he has granted to us, dear friends, the sweet drawings of the soul to this theme. Panting after the waters. As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O living God. When shall the living God appear? Is that your cry? Is that your longing, beloved friends? And unto such ones, the word of God, not myself, friends, and I'd be so careful when I say this, the God's word, God himself prepares his people that they may be, that they might receive this precious theme, that they might be given the sweet inclinings of the soul, that they might be given that power of faith. The word of God commands that faith might enter into that people, and that they might come according to his word and according to his invitation. Oh, what a mercy, friend, if your soul has been thus prepared to receive this precious gospel, and to receive the precious truth that we might be able to come. Come to Christ. Come to the beloved fountain of living waters. Opened up in that day. And shall that foundation be opened up for sin and for uncleanness. You see, Jesus came not to save the healthy. We've already said that. He didn't come, dear friends, to save the righteous, but to save sinners. And to restore to health those that feel the disease of sin and loathe them at their own selves on account of their wretched sinfulness. Oh, do we long for such a Jesus? Is he, dear friend, our plea? And as we've already sung, our hope, our all in all. Oh, that I might touch the hem of his garment. Oh, that I might receive virtue out of his precious body. Oh, that I might be cleansed from all the filth of my sin. and that I might have this terrible raging and roarings of sin within me subdued. Do you long to have that? Do you long to feel that, friends? And to be brought into union with this beloved God, man? Are we tired of our emptiness, our empty profession, our empty confessions? Are we just tired, beloved friends, of the state of our life and our distance from this Savior? Do we long in the depths of our heart that truly the Word of God might come down with power and that I might see yon lovely man? I'm speaking, friends, of the eye of faith. No man, none of us here in this building can ever view Christ with the melting of our heart and with that joy except the Word of God comes down with power from heaven. So dependent are we on the eternal Lord Jehovah's shalls and wills firm as the everlasting hills. So dependent we are of this word tonight, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. If tonight, beloved friends, is a time in which the Lord is pleased to reveal his Son Jesus in us, we shall see him. We shall feel his presence in our souls, and we shall be melted in contrition and saying with the hymn writer, why me, O blessed God, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free. And it comes in, dear friends, exactly with our chapter. Bring no price, bring no money, bring no vain oblation, bring not anything of self. Come poor, come empty, come wretched, come as you are, come as a repenting poor sinner to be washed in this fountain. What a precious thing if the power of God in his word may speak such a truth to our souls. It is then, beloved friends, we shall see a value in the dear Redeemer. Let whatever minister might talk of man's ability to see Christ or realize Christ or melt it under the presence of Christ. Friend, accept that the word of God, the power of that word from on high, enters in us and gives us that ability. We'll know nothing of Jesus. How great is his grace? How great is the favor of this Lord God? The Lord Jehovah the great, I am that I am. The one, beloved friends, who in memory in meditation we think, he spoke the word and the Red Sea separated and became heaps of water that the Israelites might pass through. And he spoke the word and the wheels of the chariots fell. He spoke the word, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and the plagues came upon that people. Oh, he spoke the word that the blood might come in the lintel and the posts of the door, that the angel of death might pass by the Israelites and destroy the firstborn of the Egyptians. He spoke the word, beloved friends, and the Israelites were saved time after time of their enemies. But how precious when he speaks the word of truth, when he speaks with power into the heart of a sinner, a hater of himself formerly, a lover of this world and a lover of self. How precious, beloved friends, is when that word enters our souls and the power of that word is felt and our souls fall down, melted in wonder and admiration of the effects of this word as Jesus Christ is made known to our soul, as the eye of faith may behold that dear dying Lamb of God and the blood that Jesus shed. Tell me, friends, is Jesus' blood precious to you? Oh, do we plead by the throne of grace and this Lord God whose authority it is to bless us, do we plead that I might see the blood, that I might feel the blood, that I might know the power of that blood, that I might be cleansed in that blood? I think of that hymn 444, that leper, knowing his leprosy, feeling it, friend, from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet. Oh, to confess time after time, unclean, unclean, unclean. Have you felt that, friends? Have you felt the uncleanness of our bodies? Have we felt the iniquity, the massive iniquity of the heart? Have we felt the roarings and the ragings of Satan within us? And we too weak to endure it? Have we felt ourselves succumbing to his power? Have we felt ourselves, beloved friends, brought down to the dust of death? The dust of death. Have we felt ourselves, dear friends, rolling the morsels of sin under our tongue and destroying the peace of our soul? Have we felt ourselves turning our eyes towards sin and having no strength against it? And then crying, oh, Lord Jesus, cleanse me from this filth. Cleanse me from the sins and iniquities that dwell within me. Have you mourned, beloved friends, that solemn truth of what Jesus says? Know ye not, O friends, it is not what you eat that makes you sinful. It what proceeds out of our heart that makes us sinful. Have you felt that? And have you come, dear friend, to the throne of grace then? Oh, plunge me in. I love that. Yet on its brink I dwell. Oh, plunge me in with thine own hands, and that will make me well. The loving kindness and mercy in Isaiah 55. The loving kindness of this pure and holy God to take such vile, sinful creatures and to offer up his own Son, Jesus Christ, on their behalf. To make a fountain presentable, friends. To make a fountain of living waters available. A fountain that cleanses from all sin. And a fountain that purifies from all filth. Have you coveted, beloved friends, this rich gift? His name is Jesus. What a glorious name. As much as we spoke last night again, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for the rich provisions of a fountain of living waters. Thanks be unto God for that willingness of this dear fountain. This fountain that cleanses from all sin. Thanks be unto him that he went to Calvary and died. He died a terrible death. Oh, he endured the terrible wrath of sins that were not his own. Have you felt, dear friends, those sins? Your sins, the sins that nailed him to the tree. The soldiers pierced him through, 'tis true, but we have pierced him through and through. Have you had a sense, dear friends, of your sins on that tree, on his shoulders, mourned by him? Have we mourned, dear friends, of the sins that we've committed? Have it grieved us, friends, to your souls? Has it affected your life? Has it affected your businesses, your education, your thoughts, your ability to even live a normal life? Has it consumed you, dear friends? Give me this fountain or I'll never be clean. Has Christ brought to a place elevated so high that we cannot live except that we are put in that fountain? Except he take us and draw us, invite us, encourage us, and then cleanse us. Come ye to the waters, ho everyone that thirsteth. Bring no money, bring no price. Wherefore do you labor for that which perisheth? Oh, the rich instruction of the word of God. As he draws a people, friend, out of the world and out of self to live a life in this dear Jesus Christ and him alone. Do we know the power of this word, friends? Do you know the sacredness and sweetness of this power as it enters the soul that we cannot deny? It is the Lord. We cannot resist his power. We cannot resist his word. It's changed our life. It's changed our thoughts and brought us as a poor sinner to plead this fountain. The one thing we long and the one thing we desire is that we might be cleansed, that we might be washed from our filth and from the guilt. And we think it is not just once. Our hymn writer says that the fountain of Christ assists me to sing the blood of our priest, our crucified king. That precious fountain that cleanses from sin and from filth and gives us that salvation and health. That fountain that is necessary not just once for justification. Not just once so we might see our sins removed. But daily we need again and again to be plunged here. Or are we such good Christians that once washed, we need no more fountain? We need no more Jesus? We need no more washing? We need no blessed word of God? I tell you how it is in this heart, beloved friends. We soon lose that preciousness of that dear Savior. Oh, we soon lose the peace of the soul. I just think of myself, that sacred season the last week. Seeing the beauty of that cross, that not only the entrance into eternal salvation, but all our sins laid upon him. Oh, the sweetness, this melting of the soul, the contrition felt, the love, the wonder of such a soul, such an experience. Love and grief, my heart dividing with my tears, his feet I'll bathe. But can we continue in that feeling? Oh, we wish that it would remain, that we would remain for the remainder of our time on earth. But we see and feel the power and sweetness going from it. And we need to come again and again daily to this fountain, that we might be washed from a renewed guilt and renewed sin and renewed filth. Oh, friends, if we knew something of that heart, the wretchedness of that heart, or the filth of the heart, the old man, that one, that old man of flesh, who is continually resisting that God of grace. Oh, if he could stamp God into the ground, he would. But here we come, here again, friends, we come. In humble admiration of our God and my salvation, to the only wise God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That he has overcome my wickedness. He's overcome by the old man, Adam. He's overcome, beloved friends, my flesh. And he is able to overcome all my sins and iniquities within me. He has paid the price of all my sins. And then we are exhorted, encouraged by the Lord Jehovah to come again and again. The child of God, I'm speaking now here, beloved friends. The child of God is exhorted time and time again to come to this sacred fountain. Oh, do you need it? Dear child of God, do we need that precious fountain? Have we felt our hearts becoming cold? Have we felt in some sense a distance from this God and from his beloved Son? Have we felt in our souls, oh, the carnality of our spirits? Have we felt, dear friends, that our prayers have become the mere listening of words, an empty form? Have we felt that distance from our God and hardness in our spirits? Come ye to the waters. Come as a poor begging sinner. Come pleading that precious person of Jesus Christ. Come crying unto him, beloved child, for mercy, for the restoration of your soul, for the strength of the soul, to the preservation of the soul, for the cleansing of that soul again. We call it that sanctification, that continual washing in the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. It is only then, dear child of God, that your soul shall be maintained in its path. Oh, do we love the Lord Jesus for these precious truths? And may the Lord grant unto you, dear friends, a sacred knowledge of this word of God that enters into the heart, that it accomplishes the thing that God has purposed in your life. And God shall have all the honor and glory when poor sinners are drawn to Jesus, when poor sinners may declare their love to Jesus and confess their union with Jesus. And what the word of God has performed in the heart. Then ye shall go out with joy. And be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. It is to say, all ministers in the children of the Lord who have been brought into communion, who know something of the Lord Jesus, will rejoice when another one is brought into Zion. Who will praise the Lord God for his matchless mercies and to the value of this fountain. As one and another is drawn into the fold. Another is washed from his sins in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another is tasted the mercy of God and the rich favors of this Lamb of God slain there on Calvary. Oh, may there be rejoicing amongst you. Oh, may the word, dear friends, have entered into the hearts of the hearers with power, with God's power. With a purpose from heaven, the will of God. And then, beloved friends, we will not be able to hold our tongue still a moment longer. Oh, the power of God's word and the sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ known in our souls as it melts our heart and fills our souls with love will enable us to bless our God, praise our Savior, and sing forth his precious truths to the world. I remember with great clarity, beloved friends, A time in my life I shall never for the rest of my life forget, embedded in my heart with the pen of a diamond, we would say. When my soul was brought to such destitution, it was brought to such a low place. When the devil tempted me, my God had would never, ever appear for me again. I had forsook him. I had denied him. And I cannot tell you the experience of my heart, how I sunk. And I believed the devil's temptations, for I felt in myself a denial of my God, of his workings, and of his invitations at that time. And I plunged into the greatest of spiritual distress and the greatest darkness, dear friends, that I have experienced for a long, long time. And that Monday, it was on a Sunday this happened, on Monday morning, when I was going to work, when I came back from the chicken farm where I was working, crying unto the Lord in the greatest of straits for help, for his appearing for my poor soul. And when I was going up what we call Mount Woodside, and the sun broke open through the clouds and shone into my truck, and those rays, beloved friends, and the rays of that sunshine broke through my windshield, and that word was spoken, and so the Lord Jesus Christ is thy righteousness. The melting of the word when the power enters the heart, the purposes of God to cheer his poor desponding souls, those ones sunk in the greatest of despondency and cannot even function anymore till Jesus comes, till God speaks peace. So shall my word be that cometh forth out of my mouth. It shall accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. What was the effect? It was the appointed time that the glorious, precious, sacred truths of God's righteousness may be imputed to a vile black sinner. You have not denied me. I, in my mercy, have come to you. And the sacredness, beloved friends, of the realization of Christ's righteousness imputed to my soul was beyond expression. You cannot explain it. The melting of the heart, lost in wonder, in amazement of God's mercy, of God's word, and the power realizing a blessing from heaven. And when that truth was made known with such sweetness and power to my soul, this word came first. He that denieth me before man, I will deny before my Father which is in heaven. And I could not help but say there, Lord, I will tell the world. I will tell anyone who wants to listen thy precious word and the effect of that word on my soul. My fear is gone. My doubt, my despondency. There's no room, beloved friends, in such a revelation. The soul is lifted up in rapture and the wonder admiration as the word of God enters with such power, such truth, such reality, and such a belting experience in our lives. I will tell the world. And so the Lord has inclined my soul to do the very same thing, beloved friends, to speak unto the hearers of the wonders of redeeming love, of the rich favors that God's word and God's purposes have for his children, his people. We will come to seasons, beloved friends, exceedingly tried. We will come to the sorest places in the circumstances of life. We were brought down to the greatest of spiritual distress. We will come poor and empty, and our cries will ascend, Lord, help me. Oh, friends, have we had that place? Lord, help me. And Lord, appear on my behalf. Oh, I shall soon sink into the dust or even into hell. The extremity of my soul's experiences, beloved friends, and I believe it shall be in the child of God too, it will rise up unto heaven, and the eye of faith pleads for the Lord's mercy and for the Lord's presence. That is, come unto me, all ye that thirst. I will satisfy you with the fountain of living waters and apply the precious truths of my beloved Son Jesus Christ to your soul. The Lord will have you and I, beloved friends, needing this fountain. The Lord will have his children pleading this fountain, coveting this fountain. The Lord will have us, though we might feel ourselves so sinful and so wretched and so unworthy. He will have this precious plea coming out continually. O Lord, that I might have once again the precious truths of this fountain made known to my soul. Cleanse me, O cleanse me, Lord, in this precious fountain. Oh, is this our plea? Is this our plea, friends, tonight? Cleanse once again in the fountain of living waters. Isaiah 55, it ends. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. As if to say, this people, beloved friends, who have been enabled by faith and through the deep necessities of the soul to plead this fountain, to come to this fountain to be washed, shall have their sins and their iniquities taken away. The briars and the thorns of sins and transgressions shall be taken away. And the pleasant, fragrant smell of redeeming grace and the cleansing of Jesus' blood shall be known into the soul. If, dear friends, we can come in tonight with what we have spoken this evening, the Lord shall comfort the heart at his own time. And we shall come to know, and we shall come to testify what the fountain means to us. The fountain of Christ's blood opened for sin and for uncleanness. And we shall be able to testify and thank God for the word that has entered with power, that has made us know and realize the truth, the preciousness, and the cleansing power of this fountain. And so may the Lord bless you. Lord bless each one of us, friends, to know something of this chapter, the thirsting of a soul, and the satisfying quenching of the thirst of such a soul in the wells of salvation, in the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. God shall have all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. But beloved friends, we shall become a prepared people. And the Lord shall clothe us with his robe of righteousness. And the Lord shall wash away all our sins, never, ever to be remembered again. And except we are able by living faith to come to this fountain, we will be on our own account, filled with sin, filled with iniquity, and will have to give an account at the judgment seat on our own behalf. How dreadful shall that time be? How dreadful, friends, if we have never been able, by faith, to come to this fountain. May the Lord grant your souls an application of these truths. Oh, may God fill us with his word with power, and may it accomplish that, even the salvation of your souls, so that we may give him the glory and the honor forever and ever. But friends, that we might be brought then, that we might have the right to eternal bliss, And by that precious fountain of the Lord Jesus Christ and his wonder done to us, we may come into the clouds of heaven with that multitude whom no man can number, and spend the rest of the never-ending eternity praising him who alone is worthy of all our honor and praise and glory forever and ever. And then we shall cast our crowns at his feet and bless him and praise him for the wonders of salvation and the cleansing of our filthiness and sin. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day if he is able. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Robert Field is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening. And after the benediction, will you please remain? Let us sing hymn 174. Jesus is precious, says the word. What comfort does this truth afford? And those who in his name believe, with joy this precious truth receive. Hymn 174.
pleased to forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our gathering together. And now, Lord, as we part from these dear friends, we do commit them, Lord, unto thy throne of grace. We commit them unto thy sacred presence, into the power of thy word, into the glories and wonders of Emmanuel, our dear dying Savior and blessed Redeemer, our hope, our joy, our all in all. Lord, do bless them with rich abundance and favor them with that sacred blessing of thy Holy Spirit, and cause that they might come, Lord, from the four corners, that they might come to call upon thy holy name and receive the blessings of the gospel. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide upon us now and forevermore. Amen.
Dear friends, we cannot let this moment pass without giving thanks to our God for sending his servant among us. And may his word abide with us and do our souls good. And to his name be all the praise. Now let us sing together hymn 373, followed by the doxology. 373. With heavenly power, O Lord, defend him whom we now to thee commend. His person bless, his soul secure, and make him to the end endure. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. 373. Mr. Decker. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.